are back on the Michael Coolidge Show. Our next guest has been on the show before. She writes for the New York Post and the Washington Examiner and has written the fantastic book, which we've talked about previously, The Great Revolt Inside the Populist Coalition, Reshaping American Politics. Selena Zito, welcome back on to the Michael Coolidge Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes. I have to ask where you are as we speak, because I know sometimes you work out of Washington, D.C. A lot of times you work out of your home, Pittsburgh area. Where are you right now?
I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm in western Pennsylvania. I only visit Washington, D.C. when I absolutely must have to because I get high. And it's just not a good look on me.
No.
Most of the time, I just finished a 6,000-mile back and forth across the country going through Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Colorado, and Utah.
Wow.
And then I came back a southern route.
And you, and I know this about you, you avoid the expressways if you can, right? You try to drive
always
off the beaten path.
I absolutely always avoid the expressways. I do not fly. I do not use interstates. I mainly stick to U.S. routes and state roads. And the reason I do that is because if you use an interstate or a highway, it's not much different outside of time than flying, because you don't really see how communities change. You know, if you go in an interchange, you'll see like a Cheesecake Factory and like a Quick Mart, and you
right.
get your gas
Casey's.
And you're gone. But you know, going on the back roads, you see how communities change, how they've developed, if they're thriving, if they're struggling, and you understand more about culture and what drives people to vote, as opposed to plopping in, staying for 3 minutes, and plopping out.
Right. And you do this better than anyone else. And one of the, a lot of these states you mentioned, of course, went to Trump in the last election. And that is, in so many ways, our area of the country, the Farm Belt, the Rust Belt.
Yep.
Voters who many times in the past voted for Democrats, but were, you know, the appeal of President Trump, paying attention to their needs. They pulled the lever for him last time, or filled in the circle. What are you hearing now, the kind of sense of things, especially with working class people, union members, with regards to Trump? I know there's a lot. It's a lot to unpack. There's the tariff issue, the China issue, the energy issue. What is your general sense of things?
Well, I think what is important to understand is that the forces that are changing the coalitions that make up the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are largely driven on culture and economics and technology. And so that is what is persuading voters to think outside of maybe the party they were born into. Right. If you're from a lot of the Rust Belt, including where I live, you're essentially born a certain religion, typically Catholic and Democrat. Like, you get your cards the day you're born. And so before technology not only changed how jobs or the availability of jobs and also transparency and understanding, larger institutions, in particular political organizations, you know, people didn't really think outside of their political party. That has changed dramatically, and we have what I call a conservative populist coalition within the Republican Party, and it looks very different than the Republican Party did 10 years ago. And there are a lot of working class voters in it, a lot less sort of the Rockefeller suburban elite voters in it. So what I see among union voters, in 2016, union families, while they still supported Clinton over Trump, the numbers are dramatically different than their support for President Barack Obama. It swung almost 12 percentage points I believe that Obama enjoyed 62, then 60% in each subsequent election for President Obama, and it swung down to only 51% of Union Democrat support for Hillary Clinton. Now, I think what is interesting to me, and this is what I'm watching, is that Union families who did not vote for Trump are very much struggling with their choices within the Democratic Party. It might be enough of a percentage, because this is going to be a very close election, it may be enough of a percentage for them to either not show up or move over to Trump that could change, that this election in 2020 could ride on. They're really struggling with their choices right now among the Democratic primary candidates.
And we have the debate tomorrow night, which everyone is going to watch, or at least, you know, people who are into politics, like all of our listeners are, this Democrat primary debate. And the choices, I mean, if you really had to put a lot of money on it, will probably come down to Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden or maybe Bernie Sanders, dark horse Amy Klobuchar, people like that. But, you know, the money right now is on Warren and Biden. And those are two different candidates with regards to working class people and the populist union members you're talking about, right?
Right. So the struggle union families have are twofold. And I don't think Biden escapes the scrutiny, because he has also moved away from supporting things like fracking, which in Western Pennsylvania, let's just focus on Pennsylvania for a moment.
Yes.
A Democrat could not win Pennsylvania in a general election if they do not win Western Pennsylvania and Scranton. Just can't do it. And despite the heavier population being in Philadelphia, the lack of support for the natural gas, shale, fracking industry is astounding. And those voters live in Western Pennsylvania and Scranton. And for Elizabeth Warren to call for a ban on fracking on day one, which, by the way, pretty much illegal, nonetheless, it is that inference and attitude towards natural gas which would cost her the election. And also, it pushes she and this sort of rallying cry among the climate activists within the Democratic Party is pushing Joe Biden further left and away from these industries. Union families are having the best sort of economy that they have had in 40 years. You know, as one union official, Darren Kelly, said, you know, and he's the head of the Labor Council here in Western Pennsylvania. We are having an economic boom that rivals the steel industry in the 50s. Post-World War II, that was really, really good economic numbers. So that is the challenge for Warren and also probably everyone else, because they're all pushing themselves as far left as possible. Also, religious liberty. In places like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, voters, even not just Republican voters, but independent and conservative Democratic voters, are very skittish about a party that is taking on a position of attacking religious liberty. It's one of the founding principles of our country, not of a political party, but of our country.
Yes, and we talked about that right before you came on, this recent comment by this Beto O'Rourke character saying he wants to take away the tax breaks for any churches that don't recognize gay marriage, and you know, conspicuously didn't mention Muslim mosques in that, which that would you know, be affected by as well. But you know, I think so many people want the free will to say, yeah, you know what, I don't have a problem with you if you want to live your life a certain way, and I don't even have a problem with if you want to marry someone of the same gender. That's fine. But then the the line they don't want to cross is the government forcing people to recognize certain things, forcing churches to do things a certain way through the purse, and you know, through the purse strings of tax exemptions and whatnot. And this is and the people you're talking about do pay attention to the fact that Joe Biden 2019 is very different than Joe Biden 2008 or Joe Biden 1988, for example. He has this brand of being working class Joe, but he has moved way to the left on a lot of these issues because he wants the primary electors to vote for him. And I know that they're paying attention. Selena Zito, listeners, is something called a yinzer. Please tell us what a yinzer is, Selena.
So in Western Pennsylvania, also in central Pennsylvania, parts of West Virginia and eastern Ohio, there's a high concentration of people of Scots-Irish descent. And if you ever heard anybody from Scotland speak, they kind of jumble their words together because they talk really, really fast. And in other parts of the country, people say y'all or, you know, you guys. Well, in Pittsburgh, we say yins. And so we affectionately call ourselves yinzers. So that's where yinzers come from.
Only place, you know, in the country that uses that term, right? Yins?
Yins. I have found it as far away as Zanesville, Ohio, and as far east as parts of central Pennsylvania, and all the way up into Bradford, Pennsylvania. So it has a lot to do with, you know, with our culture, which comes from the Scots-Irish that settled here, you know, back when we were the wild, wild west.
Well,
in the 17th century.
I encourage you to read, if you haven't already, The Great Revolt, Inside the Populist Coalition, Reshaping American Politics by Selena Zito and Brad Todd. But please follow Selena Zito on Twitter, Selena Zito, because one, I love your Twitter feed because it's so positive. Like, I would say 75% of your stuff are these sweet anecdotes about things you've discovered, or you know, historical things, or I love that piece of art you retweeted recently of the woman putting something in the oven.
Edward Hopper.
Yes.
Love him. What an incredible American artist. You know, people want to follow my stories. They can just go to my website. It's my name, Selena Zito, S-A-L-E-N-A-Z-I-T-O. Sign up for the email. It's free. It's not fattening. And it's really fun. And you can check out what's going on across the country, throughout the country, through my stories. And I focus a lot on culture because culture determines politics. And it gives you an insight to understanding what's happening in the country. And The Great Revolt is coming out in paperback in 2 weeks. It has an update from 2018, but also what to look for 2020. People don't really understand the conservative populist coalition that is the Trump voter. And a lot of why they don't is because 34% of Trump voters did not tell a family member and or a friend that they were going to vote for him. We take you inside their lives and show you how you can understand who they are and why they have formed this new coalition.
It is Michael Coolidge Show, listeners, Selena, and it sounds like a great Christmas gift, people. The triple books, I tell you, Alienated America by Tim Carney, Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance, and The Great Revolt by Selena Zito and Brad Todd. Buy all three of them and give it to a fellow Michael Coolidge Show listener. It's a great Christmas gift. Selena Zito, anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
No, not at all. If they sign up for the email, you win a chance to get an autographed copy of The Great Revolt. And it's like one in every five people. So do it.
Nice. Selena, always enjoy reading your stuff and always enjoy having you on The Michael Coolidge Show. Have a great weekend. Go Steelers. Congrats on their victory last night.
Thanks so much.
We'll be right back.
Kenny Farms Distilling. based in the heart of Northern Illinois in downtown Rochelle, knows a superior product takes care, heart, and hard work. Rick and Doris Kenny have spent a lifetime building their family farm and instilling a love for agriculture in their children. Now the entire family has poured that love into Kenny Farms Distilling, a truly unique operation that is now the largest distillery in all of Illinois.
Their premium house-made vodka is available right now.
Kenny Farms Distilling has 9 different delicious craft beers, which you're welcome to enjoy at their amazing bar overlooking historic downtown Rochelle. Kenny Farms Distilling, embracing innovation and sustainability while celebrating their passion for agriculture and family.
Visit KennyFarmsDistilling.com.